Start from the beginning. Okay, the Ramban actually wrote a little hakdama to Parshas Vayishlach. This opening passage is sort of an introduction to the Parsha. Okay, says the Ramban. Nichtava ha-Parsha hazos lehodiyah. What is this whole Parsha about? And when we say Parsha, we're not talking about necessarily Parshas Vayishlach, we're talking about this whole encounter. Yaakov sends Malachim ahead, and he's trying to appease his brother Esav. We'll have to see how the Ramban learns Esav's response. Did Esav accept the gift? Was he comforted? Was he still angry at Yaakov? We'll have to see. But nichtava ha-parsha azos lahodia ki hitzil HaKadosh Baruch Hu as avdo uga'alo miyad chazak mimenu v'yishlach malach v'yatzileu. Okay, Aleph. First things first, says the Ramban. Why do we need all of this? To teach us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves those who are on his team. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hitzil as avdo uga'alo miyad chazak mimenu. It's very Chanukah thing. Hashem saved Yaakov from someone who was what? From someone who was much stronger than him. He was outmanned when he fought against or approached Esav's 400 men. Right? He fought against the Malach. Seemingly the Malach has greater strength. And yet, in both cases, Yaakov emerges. So look how HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves the one who's loyal to him, who serves him, and redeems him from the one who's chazak mimenu. Now what does the Ramban mean by Yishlach Malach v'yatzileu? He sent an angel and saved him? We don't find in the parsha that Hashem sent a malach to save Yaakov. Do we find that there's a malach that came to Yaakov's rescue? So some of the mefarshim say the way to read it is vayishlach malach, that Hashem sent a malach against Yaakov. That tsaro shel Esav who Yaakov fights in the parsha, right? Vayatzileu, and Hashem saved him from the malach. In other words, why did Hashem send a malach against Yaakov? You know, to teach him that you could even beat a malach, because when you're on Hashem's team, you can win. That's Hanukkah. Right? The weak defeated the strong. The few defeated the many. That's exactly the message that we're getting in this parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves his servant from the one who's stronger than him. And even if a malach comes against him, even if forces beyond this world try to oppose him, he'll be successful. So that's lesson number one. Very, very important lesson. We shouldn't feel that we can't achieve anything. We can achieve anything and everything when we have Hashem on our side. So I'll say it again. We can and will achieve anything and everything if we have Hashem on our side. No, if you're on Hashem's team, it doesn't matter how big the other team is. Hashem's team will always be bigger. Even if it's just you and Hashem. Ulalamdeinu od, and furthermore to teach us, Shuhu lo batach b'tzidkaso v'shtadl b'hatzala b'chol yachalta. And yet, on the flip side, listen to this. Such an important message. At the same time, we don't find that Yaakov was relying entirely on his tzidkus and said, well, since I'm on God's team, God will take care of everything for me. However, you got to take care of yourself. It's a Jewish value to advocate for yourself. It's a Jewish value to take care of yourself. He did not rely on his tzidkus, rather his shtadl b'hatzala b'chol yachalto. Yaakov used strategy to be successful. It's not a stira. You have to learn how to live with both of those in a way that's emistic. To be emes, rely on Hashem and realize that every single thing that's going to happen is going to be exactly how God wants it, but that can make a person lazy, so then why do I bother trying? Why daven if Hashem is going to do whatever he wants anyways? Why make an effort if my parnasa comes from Hashem? And on the flip side, when I'm making effort and I have a great business idea and I'm trying to pursue it, to not, God forbid, think, oh, koichi ve'otzim yadi, look what I accomplished. No, hold on. You have to do your part, you have to do your shtadlus, but you also have to know that it's entirely from Hashem. Okay, so two very important and different messages come from this. On the one hand, Yaakov's utter reliance on Hashem and the confidence a Jew has to have to take on the world because you have Hashem on your side. At the same time, look how Yaakov has a big strategy, has a whole game plan, how he's going to try to appease brother Esav, to try to get him to, you know, to back down from his anger. V'yesh ba'od remez ledoros, and there's a third message here. Ki kol asher eira la'avinu im Esav achiv yara lanu tamid im b'nei Esav. Again, Chaver, we've seen one of the themes that the Ramban developed from Chazal is Maisa Avos Simin Labanim. Why does the Torah have to write about this fight that never happened? Because nothing happened in the end, Baruch Hashem. A lot of fear, a lot of preparation, a lot of strategy. Why do we need to write about this? Why do we need to know that Yaakov is nervous and Yaakov is threatened by Esav? Because Maisa Avos Simin Labanim. Ramban's telling us, you're going to be living in Tafshin Pei Gimel, it's going to be 2022, right? And you're still going to be living in Gullus Edom. You're still under Esav. You may not feel it day in and day out, but you should recognize that Esav is antagonistic towards Yaakov. Like Rashi says, Halacha, Esav Sonei Es Yaakov. Rashi quotes the Maimer Chazat, it's a Halacha that Esav despises Yaakov. Don't try to solve anti-Semitism. You can try to better the situation, but there's something irrational about it that you're not going to solve. It's a halacha that Esav is sonei es Yaakov. It's not logical. It's a fact of reality. So be prepared for it, says the Ramban. V'roi lanu le'achoz darachot shel tzadik shenazmin atzmenu l'shloshes dvarim shehizmin es atzmo. And therefore we need to prepare ourselves. We need to le'achoz darachot, to grab onto the derech of Yaakov Avinu, and to do what he did. What do you do when you're facing opposition from Esav? Well, Yaakov did three things. Number one, litfila. First and foremost, ground yourself. Talk to Hashem. Number two, lidoron. Lidoron means, this has to be done in the right way. It's not always simple how to do this in the right way. Doron means send gifts. What did Yaakov do? He tried to appease Esav. Right? It's okay to try to create positive relations. It's okay. We want to develop good relationships with those around us. Right? We want to be able to live, you know, civilly with those who may live different than us. That's not a bad idea. But at the end of the day, number three, ulhatzala b'derach melchama. Sometimes we have to be prepared to fight back. Because sometimes again, that's what's called upon. Hashmonam, right? Had to wage battle. They couldn't just sit around. They also davened, right? They tried to better the situation, but at a certain point, lahatzala b'derach melchama, livroach ulihinatzel. Interesting. Livroach means to run away and to be saved. So am I fighting or am I running away? So again, the Mefarshim point out that when it comes to Esav, the Torah actually, we have to remember, Esav, even if Esav is very cruel to us at times, Esav is still a relative. Esav is our brother. Esav is our cousin, however you want to look at it. Right? Esav is a relative. And therefore, we fight Esav as necessary, but it's not our goal to eradicate Esav per se. That strand of Esav called Amalek, we're called upon to eradicate. But when it comes to Esav, the goal is to fight them, not to destroy them, but just to what? To free ourselves. Okay? So again, there's a nuance even in the way that we fight Esav. And that's also, again, even though I'm mixing Chanukah in a lot, Chanukah is really Yavan, but Yavan becomes Edom. The third gullus of Jewish history, Yavan, evolves into Edom. It never really ended. We got the Beis HaMikdash back, right? But it just evolved into Roman, you know, Greek society evolved into Roman Western culture. I mean, is the world today Yavan still? Yeah, of course it's still Yavan. Right? It's that gashmius, it's that physicality, it's the you know, obsession with the chitzonius. So Yavan, tzaddikim say, or Gedaliel writes about this, Yavan kind of just rolled into Edom where we are today. It's sort of this ongoing process. Okay, so we're living in it now. So we say on Chanukah, Al Anisim, Al Niflos, thank you for the Yeshuos, thank you for all the things. Thank you Hashem, Al HaMilchamos. What's the pshat, Al HaMilchamos? A different pshatim, but one pshat that I saw is Al HaMilchamos, thank you Hashem, that even when a Jew fights, I still fight like a Jew. And that's what the Ramban's saying here. Right? There's a way that a Jew goes out to battle against Esav. That's stam. Right? You have to know when you're allowed to attack, when you're allowed to kill. When you're allowed to, right? First daven, try to make peace, but if not, be prepared to fight. And again, the fight is not for the goal of necessarily conquering. The fight is for protection, right? We want to be safe. We have a right to be safe. We're not the bullies of the world. The Jewish people have never been the bullies of the world. We don't just conquer for the sake of conquering. Right? But we have every right to defend ourselves. We have to know that and be prepared to fight at times. Okay. And again, Chazal already found all of this in our parsha, as we'll talk more about. Okay, so that's the Ramban's introduction to the parsha. Okay, let's jump to Pasuk Ches. So Yaakov sends his messengers, and he's trying to appease Esav. Pasuk Ches, let me read the Pasuk. Vayira Yaakov ma'od vayetzar lo. Yaakov was extremely afraid, and he was terribly distressed. Vayachatz es ha'am asher ito. So he divided the people that were with him. He divided the sheep, the goat, the cattle, the camel. He divided them into two camps. Okay, what does it mean that Yaakov was extremely afraid and he was distressed? Vayira vayetzar lo. So Rashi says, Vayira shema yehareg. He was afraid that he might be killed. Vayetzar lo im yaroku esacher. That's exactly this idea. He was scared to be killed and he was scared to kill. He was prepared to do it if he had to defend his family. But we're not, our goal is not, we'd rather not be drawn into the war, but we have to be prepared to defend ourselves. Okay, so let's see what the Ramban says. Vayira Yaakov ma'od, Yaakov was very afraid. Pasuk Ches. Ba'avur sha'amru lo, ki yatza Esav me'iro v'hu balakras Yaakov. Why was he so afraid? Because he got the report that what? That Esav is coming at him. And not only is Esav coming at him, va'od shalakach imo anashim rabim arba meos. He was coming at him with 400 men. That's not small. If they're just coming to, hug and reconnect over a cup of coffee, he doesn't need to bring 400 fierce warriors with him. Va'yari lenafsho ma'od. And therefore Yaakov was genuinely afraid for his life. Ki amar lo lakach kol eila rak lihilachem bi. Why is Esav coming with his whole posse? What's his entourage? He's coming, obviously, to attack me. Again, however, we know the end of the story, so we read the parsha, with our feet up on the couch, like we're comfortable. Imagine Yaakov, he has wives and children who he loves. He has a brother who's, last he saw him, wanted to kill him, and now he's coming at him with these 400 thugs.
And he's got a nation that he needs to, take care of, too.
Oh, Yaakov.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a very important mission that he's right. He's right. Exactly.
So if he has that promise, then why is he?
Oh, so we'll see how he deals with his promise. Good. That's a good question. Okay? But now let's read between the lines of the Ramban, because we're missing part of the story. So what happened? Yaakov sends his malachim, right? He sends out his chevra, and he sends a message to Esav. And what happened? The pasuk Zion, the pasuk right before this, the angels came back, and what did they say to Yaakov? We went to Esav, and we see that he's coming at you with 400 men. That's the report. And now, pasuk Ches, Yaakov is very afraid, and he's trying to figure out how to divide up his camp, right, to protect his family. And he says in pasuk Tes, if Esav comes and wipes out one camp, at least the other camp will survive. I mean, it's pretty scary stuff. Now, what happened when the angels came back and all they said, that was the whole report, Esav's coming at you with 400 men? Was there any, what happened when you met with Esav? So says the Ramban, take a look. V'hanira ve'enai b'inyan hazeh. Ki Esav lo kibel hashluchim kahogan. It could be that the angels, when they saw Esav coming at Yaakov with his 400 men, Esav did not receive the shluchim kahogan as is fitting. They didn't sit down and talk about, oh, how nice the reunion that is right around the corner is going to be. He didn't pay any attention to them. It could be they didn't even speak to Esav. It could be Esav, they said, we'd like to speak to Esav, and his bodyguards refused. And these were angels, according to Rashi, not just messengers. Right? Esav said, I'm not interested in negotiating, and I'm just marching towards Yaakov's in the area. He's marching towards Yaakov with 400 men. It's terrifying. Right? Maybe he didn't speak to the Malachim at all. Ki haya kosov mesaper sheshal lehem ma shalom achi uma inyanov inyanei beso ubanov. We don't find the conversation. What's doing? How's the family? How's everyone, right? Ukra lo b'shlomi. Send my best. None of that. Va'amru lo ki ani holich lekrasa liroso. Right? There was no. V'heim hayu magidim came liyakov. None of that happened. There's no conversation. The angels don't come back and say, oh, Esav's excited to see you. He sent his best. He asked about your family. Right? And they didn't have a chance to do the same to Esav. There was no conversation. When they come back to Yaakov, knew what his brother Esav have to say? They didn't give any report in the name of Esav. They just said, Esav's coming at you with 400 men. Aval evraso shemura belibo. Rather, the report was, sounds like he's still pretty mad. His anger, his hatred is still in his heart. He's coming at you with a huge army because he wants to harm you. Very scary. So we understand that Yaakov responded. Right? How did they know for sure that that's where, if they didn't even have a conversation with Esav, how did they know that they're marching towards, you know, towards Yaakov? So says the Ramban, the shluchim, they investigated, they gathered information to find out. Right? They spoke to some of the, I guess, low-ranking soldiers. Where are you guys off to? What's going on here? After they got rejected for their meeting with Esav. And they found out that he's holich lekras Yaakov. He's coming at Yaakov. And Yaakov was very scared. Yaakov was very scared. Vizetam v'gam. And that's why the pasuk says v'gam. What does the pasuk say? Yaakov was afraid. He was distressed. No, sorry, where? Pasuk before that. The angels come to Yaakov and they say, Banu elachich al Esav, right? According to Ramban, not that we came to Esav, but we went toward your brother Esav. V'gam holech lekrasa. What's the v'gam? And also he's coming at you. What do you mean also he's coming at you? What's the v'gam? Ki amru banu elachich al Esav, v'lo anu asan adavar. Right? Not only did we not get to Esav to have a conversation with him, not only did he not respond and accept our offerings, not only was it not a positive meeting, in fact, the gam, more than that, also it was a negative meeting, it was a negative encounter. The gam, he's coming at you with great strength. Right? So it's not even neutral. It's not like we tried to speak to Esav and we couldn't get an appointment. Okay. So try again next week. No, we tried to get an appointment. He wouldn't talk to us, and not only that, Vigam, much worse. Right? He's displaying his strength. Ulakach hoisif lo pachar al pachto. And therefore Yaakov was doubly afraid. He was afraid before any encounter. Now he hears that Esav is coming at him with such vengeance, with such strength. Yaakov is that much more afraid. And that's Vayira Yaakov Ma'od Vayetzer lo. He was already afraid, but now Vayetzer lo, he's even more stressed out. Because now he sees, whoa, my fears are now confirmed, right? I was scared when I didn't know for sure, but now I know for sure and I'm that much more afraid. Yeah. Yitzchak Shmuel.
After all these years, how did Esav know where to find Yaakov and his family?
So that's an interesting question, right? What do you mean he was coming at him? How did he know how to... Unless, you know, Yaakov revealed his location by sending his messengers. I mean, so when the messengers showed up and they said, Yaakov's around here. Yeah, I'm not interested in talking to Yaakov. Your arms is men and he's heading out to war. Right? So that's also the vegan, right? You know, we thought we're going to be proactive and try to make peace and try to be friendly and offer a gift. Right? And the message, what was the message? How did the parsha begin? Right? Go to what? Ko somru ladoni le'esav. Go talk to my master Esav. Right? Refer to him. He was training the angels. Talk to Esav with great kavod. The Ramban and Pasuk Hey, we didn't learn it inside together, but he talks about the obligation to honor an older sibling. And how Yaakov Avinu is putting that on display here as a way of saying, Esav, listen, even though I maybe got the Bechorah, but you're still really the older sibling, and therefore the brachos are probably still yours. And he was trying, again, even in the language that he was trying to send messages to Esav, but none of it got through. Vagam, and not only that, Esav armed his men, and he's coming at you. So maybe he revealed his location by trying to be proactive. But again, pachad al pachad, a double pachad. Yaakov is doubly afraid. Okay, v'kach amru abuseinu, and that's what it says in the Medrash, ki ashluchem hekiru bo sina. The messengers recognize Esav's hatred. Amru banu elachich al Esav. We came to your brother, to Esav. What does the pasuk mean? Banu elachich al Esav. Says the Medrash, Ata noeg bo ka'ach. You're trying to be like a brother. Who noeg imcha ka'esav. But he's acting towards you like an Esav. Right? Hatzileni na miyad achi, miyad Esav. The Mefarshim explained. Sometimes Esav is an Ach, sometimes he's an Esav. An Ach is also dangerous. Because if you get too buddy-buddy with Esav, it leads to what? It leads to intermarriage. It leads to a blurring of the lines. Okay? But there's an Ach type of Esav, and then there's the Esav type of Esav. So what Chazal say, the Malachim came back, Banu el Achicha, we tried to approach him as your brother, El Esav. But his response was Esavdik. Aval Bisov Kashara Kavada Gadol Sha'asalo Yaakov. Asher Hishvil Atma Lefanov Shishtachva Artsa Sheva Pama Mirachok Ad Gishtoilov. But in the end of the day, Chevra, when Esav finally shows up and he sees the very generous gift that Yaakov offered, and he sees how Yaakov is Hishvil Atma, how he humbles himself and literally lowers himself, falling to the ground, as the Pasuk says, seven times, bowing before him, Nichmeru Rachamav. Esav's Rachmanis was what? Was aroused. V'chashav kihu mode b'chorasa v'gdulasa alav. Esav saw it as a sign that Yaakov truly accepts me as his, as the older brother, as the gadol. Kasher pirashti, as I explained above in Pasukei. Again, all part of Yaakov's way of trying to appease his brother. V'hisnachem b'zeh. And he was what? And he was calmed by this. He was appeased by this. And look at the last line. Underline these last couple of words. Ki alavavos la'ashem heima. L'chol asher yachpots yate osam. Because at the end of the day, the hearts belong to God. So it really doesn't matter how scary the enemy is, because in a second, a Kodesh Baruch Hu could flip the switch. The hearts belong to Hashem, and whatever Hashem desires, that's how yate osam, that's how Hashem will direct them. So Yaakov, again, there's something very human about Yaakov. Something very real about Yaakov being so afraid, taking proper measures, right? But there's also a lesson here that at the end of the day, let's not forget, right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Esav to have a radical change of heart, Hashem says it's time for Yaakov to be saved, Yaakov is saved, period. Hashem controls the emotions, Hashem controls the hearts. At the end of the day, the Ribono Shel Olam oversees the entire situation. Yes?
Understand that, like, Yaakov did his installments and everything, but is it still like kind of like a sin that he didn't like fully trust in Hashem?
Right, so was Yaakov...
fully trust Hashem, and he knows that Hashem's going to save him, so like, right. Even have that thing, is it like lack of a moon and be tough?
So there's a very powerful way to read this pasuk. Vayira Yaakov v'yetzer lo. Some of the Rishonim read it like this. Vayira Yaakov ma'od. Yaakov was very afraid. V'yetzer lo, not that he was double afraid, like the Ramban is explaining, pachar al pachdo, but rather, Yaakov was afraid, v'yetzer lo, and that bothered him. He was bothered that he was afraid. Why am I afraid? If I really believe in Hashem, and I believe in Hashem's promises, why am I afraid? Well, we're going to get the answer to that in a second, even in the Ramban. Right? But it's a Gaval Digvard. I think, who says that? The Rashbam says that? Maybe the Rashbam says that. Vayira Yaakov mode. Yaakov was nervous. Vayetzel, but he was bothered. Why am I so nervous? If I believe in Hashem, I shouldn't be so anxious. Right? So there's that. That's like the Frumvard. But then there's also the very human element, which is Yaakov is plain old scared. And there's something very real about that, right? That's not us judging Yaakov in any way. You don't think we would have been? We would have been terrified. Yaakov still kept the peace of mind to strategize, right? He didn't shut down. Sometimes when we're overwhelmed, we shut down. Yaakov says, I got to go weiter. I got to daven. I got to make a plan. I got to prepare the gift. I got to tell the angels exactly how to say, what to say. He's doing whatever he can. So there's a lot of very important, you know, messages of bitachon and eshtadlus in the behaviors and the emotional responses of Yaakov Avinu. As real tzvi. What was the promise? I mean, he has many promises. He promised him that I'm going to be with you, I'm going to take you to the land, I'm going to give you a big family, right? Now let's see why Yaakov is questioning any of that. We're going to find out in a second, right? Why? So. In other words, why should he be bothered at all? Right? Okay, but before we get to that point, let's just look at Pasuk Tes, because we're heading towards that point. Pasuk Yud Aleph is going to tell us that one. But we have to do another piece right before that. Okay? Yaakov says, I have to make a plan, I'm very nervous. So what does he do? Yaakov divides his camp. Right? He divides Esa'am Esherito, he divides the people who are with him, as well as the sheep, the goats, the cattle, and the camels. He divides it all into two camps, with the hope that what? In Yavo Esav al Machane Achas Viko, Vahaya Hamachane Hanishar Lefleta. If one part of the camp gets destroyed, well, at least the other half will survive. If I ever ask a Pasha the question, Who says? Who says the other half is going to survive? While Esau is busy killing this group, this other group will run away. And what if Esau's faster?
There's 400 people with him, send 200.
Maybe he'll also, right, maybe he'll also divide and conquer. I mean, again, with Yaakov and his wives and his children and a lot of animals. I mean, he has some chevra, clearly, but doesn't sound like Esav, if he wanted, it sounds like he probably could wipe them out. Why was Yaakov so sure that Hamachaneh Hanishar Lefleta? How did he know? Rashi says, Al Karcho, Ki Elochim Imo. The other half will certainly survive, whether Esav likes it or not, because I'll fight against him. What does that mean? So Yaakov, what? Yaakov says, I'll stand by, I'll watch half my camp destroyed. Right? But if half my camp gets destroyed, so then I'm gonna turn into this fierce warrior, and whether Esav likes it or not, I'll karcho, I'm gonna fight him, I'm gonna defeat him. What was the division here also? Let's see the Ramban inside for a second. Let's just see a little bit. Because it's an important, let's find out what's going on here. Al derech ha-pshat amar zeh ulai. Okay, the Ramban is amazing because the Ramban is sensitive to being logical and rational and pshat, and then the Ramban is the big makubal that he is. The Ramban says, when Yaakov says this, it could just be that he's talking in a way of ulai. He's hopeful. I hope. Al derech ha-pshat amar zeh ulai. He doesn't know for sure. It could be enoch anami. Esav could wipe out his entire family. But I hope that if we strategize, at least some of us will be able to escape. If we see that Esav's not accepting my gift, and Esav is antagonistic, and he wants to fight, then hopefully some of us can run, and we'll survive. Ki amr ula yinatzel ha-machane achad. We hope. Hope that one group will survive. Ki ba'koso ha-echad yivrichu ha-cheirim. While Esav is busy slaughtering one group, lo aleinu, the other group will run away. O tashuv chamaso, or maybe after Esav wipes out half the camp, maybe that will put his mind at ease. Maybe that'll be enough to what? He'll get his anger out and he'll calm down. O tavol hamatzalam es Hashem, or maybe Hashem will look at half of Yaakov's, group being wiped out, and Hashem will have a change of heart kiviyachol, and send the hatzala. Send some type of salvation. Okay, that's the Ramban, logical. That's pshat. V'chein amu b'reishis rabba limedcha Torah derech eretz. Says the Medrash, what we learned from Yaakov Avinu? Financial advice. Yossi, you're a financial guy. And good advice. If a person is going to be an investor, limadcha Torah derech eretz. The Torah teaches us good, sound advice. Shelo yaniach adam kol mamono bezavis achas. Don't put all your money into one company. Don't invest all your money with one stock. Good advice. Got to diversify your portfolio. Where do we learn that? What's the source for diversifying your portfolio? Yaakov Avinu. Don't put all your money in one corner. But this is, I'm telling you, this is the best investment. Yaakov says, you got to divide up. Some might make it, some might not. You have to be open to that possibility. Fascinating. V'Rashi kasev ahaya ha-machana ha-nishra l'fleita. Rashi says, the second group will, like we said, will certainly survive. Al karcho ki elachim imo. The second group will certainly survive because what? Whether he likes it or not, I'll fight him. Hiskin atzmo l'shlosha dvarim. So we see that Yaakov, in fact, prepared in three ways, like we mentioned in the introduction. L'tfila, l'doron, u'l'machama. Prayers, gifts, and war. For Isi b'medrash, Medrash says, me'o, so what did he do? Zinam mibifnim, v'hilbisham begadim levana mibachutz. He armed his children beneath their clothing. Yeah? Everyone was packing heat. Everyone had a gun. Everyone had a gun under their clothing. Yeah? But then he put begadim levana mibachutz. He put nice white Shabbos shirts on the outside. Right? But everyone of Yaakov's kids had a gun in his pocket. And he was really ready to fight. Not just him, he armed his people. He was hoping not. He kept it under their clothing. He didn't want to give the impression of being an aggressor, but he was ready. If they attack, we pull off the white Shabbos shirts, we take out our weapons. V'chein ikar. And that's the trap. V'akavana b'zeh ki Yaakov yodeya she'ein zaro kulo nofel b'yad Esav. But you know why Rashi's right? And again, Sefer Chassidus, Hashem Yishmuel, and his Agadah Shal Pesach, by Yachatz, says this is part of the secret of Yachatz, when we break the middle matzah. Holach ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction, but there's a piece that always survives. Afikomen. It's the same Yisod. He talks about the Shem Yishmuel and his Agada that talks about these psukim. How did Yaakov know for sure the second half will survive? Right? So practically we're saying, what do you mean? He's ready to do whatever he takes to survive. But says the Ramban, look at these words again. Hakavana bezeh. Ki Yaakov yodea. Yaakov knows. There's no way I'm going to get wiped out by Esav. The Jewish people are going to survive. Who's going to survive? How many people are going to survive? Will half of us get wiped out? Maybe. But he knows. Hakavana bezeh. Ki Yaakov yodea. She'ein zaro kulo nofel biad Esav. So let's come back to Hanukkah. They walk into the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Lashon of the Gemara. Timu kol hashmanin shebehecha. All of the oil in the hechal was defiled. What would you do if you walked into the Beis HaMikdash and you saw that all of the oil was defiled? You put up your white flag and you surrender. Game over. We lost. The Chashmonam said, not a chance. They knew that what? That the machane hanishar lefleta. There's always something that survives. The Gemara's language is precise. Timu kol hashmanim shebehechal. Why didn't the Gemara say Timu Rov Hashmanim Shebehechal? No, because the Gemara wants us to feel the heaviness. Most people would have walked into that room, would have walked into Beis HaMikdash and would have said, what? Everything is lost. But that's not being a true descendant of Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu knows the Jewish people are never lost. The Jewish people are one with Kutchabrichu Yisrael Va'araisa Chadho. Hashem, the Jewish people, and the Torah are all one. Hashem can't be destroyed, the Torah can't be destroyed, the Jewish people cannot be destroyed. So the Chashmonam said there has to be a Pach Shem in here, and they searched for it and they found it. So the same thing here. Yaakov says, I know for sure I'm not going to entirely fall into the hands of an Esav. Im keini notzal ha-machaneh achad al kopanim. He knows for sure that part of his camp is going to survive. Now, let me just say one last point and I'll take comments. The Ramban wrote a sefer called Emunah Bitachon. And he writes in the Emunah Bitachon that he was never really afraid that Esav was going to kill him and his children. He felt that Esav wouldn't go that far. It could be, and again, it might be Machlokas, Rashi, and Ramban, that when he divided up his camp, it could be he divided all of his possessions, right? Meaning all the things that he got because of the brachos that Esav would want to take away from him, versus his family. But if you put it in with Rashi also, you know what you could say? You could say, Yaakov says, if Esav comes and starts slaughtering my sheep and my cattle, if Esav kills my servants, if Esav wipes out, you know, all of my financial success, maybe. But if he starts up with my family, I love this Rashi, Al Karcho, there's no way. Yaakov says, no, he will not win. You mess with my family, you're not going to win. If we understand the division of the camp that way, right? Again, the Pasuk says, he divided the Am, the people with them. It's a good question, who's the Am? Right? But then it says he divided the tzon, the bakar, the gemalim, lishnei machanos. So maybe it means he put all of the other people in one camp, and he and his family were the second camp. Right? But Rashi says, I'll fight him. For my own kids, I'll take on all of Esau's 400 men. Okay? But that's a question exactly. How did he divide his camp? Did he divide everything? Right? Were his wives and children not part of that division? And he just divided his stuff? Or did he divide all his stuff and put his family? That was the second camp. Right? But the Ramban thinks that Esav he wasn't really afraid that Esav was going to kill him. But Rashi clearly disagrees. Rashi says he's scared he's going to be killed. Yeah.
I'm saying according to the Ramban's logic that Yaakov knew that Esav would never kill his family, so then have them in one camp. I'm saying at the end of the day, if he knew that all his family wasn't going to be killed, maybe...
Right, so no, it could be according to the Ramban, his family was all kept in one area. And again, the hope is that, you know, if he attacks one group, the other group will either escape, or Esav will be satisfied because at least he wiped out Yaakov's financial success. And that's for the bracha, right? What did he steal from him when he stole the bechor? He stole the bracha, right? I mean, Yaakov's allowed to marry, he's allowed to have kids, right? But all of his financial success, hey, that belongs to me. So Yaakov's already offering that right up front. He says, please take, you know, this is all yours. I don't need this stuff. Right? Again, Esav may still take it out and start murdering. Yeah. What else?
Why would it matter if his kids dressed up with like weapons on their armor? Because like they wouldn't really like.
Why do we arm his kids?
But why would it even matter? Like they're so surrounded by two 400.
Because a Jew has to be prepared to sometimes fight. That's the Ramban's introduction to Parshas Vayishlach. Ma'isa avo simon lebanim. A Jew has to daven. A Jew has to strategize and try to make peace treaties. But at the end of the day, a Jew has to be prepared to fight. Ala nisim v'ala milchamos. Thank you, Hashem, for putting that fighting spirit. A lot of Jews were complacent. The Chashmonam were not. The Chashmonam said, if we have to fight, we're going to fight. And they did, and they won. So, you know, again, we don't flaunt the fact. We don't try to be the warriors of the world. That's not our derech. Yaakov each time Yoshev all of them. But when you have to fight, you have to fight. It's very important to know that. Ramban wants us to know that. Sometimes a Jew has to, we have to be prepared to stand up for ourselves. Okay? And then he ends, Ramban ends this piece, ends Pasuk Tes, V'gamze yirmos shalo yigzru aleinu b'nei esav limchos es shemenu. Again, we have to know. This is hinting to us, not just to Yaakov. Yaakov knew his family can't be wiped out, but it's also hinting to us as a people. Ma'isav asim l'banim. Esav will not wipe us out. Hitler Yamach Shemo had grand plans, but he failed. Haman had grand plans, but he failed. It's not going to happen. We have to know that. The Jewish people will survive. It's very powerful. We have to lean into that and feel strong about that. Right? At the same time, Yaakov is being what? He's going through a real tsaris at the hand of Esav. Aval yasu ros im ktsasenu b'ktsasa artzus shelhem. When Yaakov says, some of us will probably be attacked and killed, but some of us will survive, Yaakov is telling us two truths. Number one, the Jewish people will survive. We should take pride in that. At the same time, we need to recognize that some of us, right? Ktsasenu b'ktsasa artzus, some of us living under Esav are going to suffer a lot. There's going to be parts of the world where under an Esav rule, there's a lot of anti-Semitism. There'll be parts of the world where it's a Medina Shel Chesed, and maybe you're able to practice your religious values more freely. Right? But realize that while we're guaranteed to survive, we're going to win, there's going to be struggles along the way. Melech Echad Mehem Gozer Ba'artzo Almamu Ameno Agufeno. Certain kings in different parts of the world, they're going to levy taxes against us, or they're going to afflict our bodies. And there'll be other people who welcome the Jewish refugees into their country. Right? So be prepared for all of that, says the Ramban. And again, history tells the story very, very well, that the Ramban is, of course, correct. If Esav attacks, this refers to our brothers in the south. Fleita, Eila Achinu Shabagola. Again, I'm not sure exactly what Chazal are referring to, but Chazal are making the point that there'll be Jews in one part of the world where Esav is terribly anti-Semitic and antagonistic and treats them very harshly, and there'll be other places where Machana Nishar Lefleita, where the Jewish people will be welcomed and be given permission to practice our religious values. Ro ki gam ledoros tirmos zoha parsha. So this parsha again is setting us up for a very realistic picture of struggle and survival in Galus. Okay? Now, let's go back to the question. Let's see if we can just do one more. Let's go back to the question of what? The question of, well, what was Yaakov actually so worried about? Didn't he have all the promises in the world? What was he nervous about? Right? Vayomer Yaakov pasuk yud, Avi Avraham velokei Avi Yitzchak. Hashem ha'omer elai shuv la'artzacha ulamaladcha ve'itiva imach. He calls out to Hashem, the God who told me, go back to your land, go back to your birthplace, ve'itiva imach, and I'll make it good for you. So Yaakov is sort of talking out loud with Hashem, let me explain to you, why am I scared? Right? And again, he may have been embarrassed of his own fear. He has all these promises. I'm just reading the pasuk. So now, pasuk yud aleph, right? That was pasuk yud. Pasuk Yud, Yaakov says, the God who promised me, first of all, the God who told me to go home. You told me to go back towards Esau, and now Esau's coming at me to attack me. So Yaakov's trying to figure out what's going on here. Right? Now again, maybe this is all set up and I'll be saved, and taka, that's what happens. Right? But why is Yaakov nervous then? If Hashem, if you directed me back to the land, so the answer is very explicit in the pasuk. We'll have to see how the Ramban learns it. Katoti mikol ha-chasodin u-mikol ha-emes asher asisa es avdecha. Yaakov says, Katonti, I have become unworthy, I'm small, I'm unworthy of all of the what? of all the kindness and all of the emes. Emes means what? Emes means the complete commitment, complete fulfillment of your promises. Asher asisa es avdecha. In other words, I don't necessarily deserve to see the promises come true. But what does that mean? God makes promises and doesn't see them through? Yaakov says, well, I don't feel worthy of it. What do you mean you don't feel worthy of it? What do you mean you don't feel worthy of it? So Rashi says, Nismatu zechuyosai al yedei chasadim va'emes shasisaymi. Yaakov says, my merits have been diminished because I used up my schusim already. You took care of me for so long already. Again, when God said he was going to protect me, so maybe he did that already. Maybe now my protection is up. I didn't renew my promise with you, Hashem. Right? And then Yaakov says, more than that, I'm worried that maybe my own averos have caused me to what? To be delivered into the hands of Esav. Right? As the Gemara interprets this, Shema Yigrom HaChet. The Gemara says, maybe Yaakov was worried. Maybe my averos have caused me to no longer be worthy. Okay? So then he davened to Hashem, Pasuk Yud-Beis, Hashem, please save me, Hatzileni na miyadachi miyad Esav. Save me, Hashem. Okay, let's see how the Ramban learns it. Okay, again, he starts by quoting Rashi. Nismatu zechuyosei al yedei chasadim ve'emes shasisa imi. Hashem, I feel that my merits have been diminished by all the kindness you did for me. Lekach ani yarei shema. Mishev tachtani niskalkalti b'chet. From the time that you promised me, maybe I've ruined it through my averos. Ve'yigrom li limaser b'yad Esav. And therefore I've caused it upon myself. I brought it upon myself to be delivered into the hands of Esav. It's all my fault. Lashon Rashi. That's Rashi. Says the Ramban, that's not how God works. If God promises you protection, Hashem doesn't back out. Ve'inenu nachon b'lashon akasuv. Ramban says, I don't think that's correct, and it doesn't fit with the psukim. You know why? Va'od ki amar acharei kein, because Yaakov, as he says, I feel unworthy, right? At the same time, he's saying, va'ata amarta heitev etiv imach, v'samti azaracha kechol hayom. Well, then why is he, if he really feels unworthy, why is he reminding Hashem that what? Hashem, you promised you'd take care of me. You promised you'd make my children numerous like the sand of the seas. Ma yoel habitachon ahu ki gar machet achakach. So which way, Yaakov? If you really think your averos cause you to lose your zechuyos, so then why are you reminding Hashem? But you promised me. So then, do you think God's going to provide for you either way? Rashi says Yaakov was genuinely concerned that he had lost his merit. But the psukim don't sound the way. It sounds like he's reminding Hashem that, yeah, you do owe it to me. We made a deal. Va'od ki Yaakov hizkir shtei havtachos sheftichu HaKadosh Baruch Hu bebeis elu v'charan. He's reminding him of not one promise, but two promises. Va'amar t'chila ma'sha'amar lo b'charan. First, he reminds him of the original promise that he made him in Charan. Hashem ha'omer elai shuv la'artzecha ulimaladcha ve'itiva imach. Hashem, you're the one who told me to go back towards my homeland. I was living in Charan. You're the one who sent me back towards Esav. So I was hoped that you would send me there with the fulfillment of the promise. Right? That's what you told me when I left Lavan. You told me to go there and I will be with you. So what? Did Yaakov do something on the derech that now he lost that tzchus? It's hard to imagine. And what protection? Again, since he left Beis Lavan, when did Hashem fulfill that promise? That it got used up. You just told me to leave Lavan. Now I'm on my way back. And now all of a sudden, I'm worried that the promise is no longer valid. The promise hasn't happened just now. So what does it really mean? What was Yaakov really saying? Yaakov is saying the following, and this is also Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the Yom Tov Lahodos Lahala. Hanukkah is the holiday where, yes, on the one hand, tremendous ishtadlus to try to get things back on track, courageous Chashmonai warriors, but at the same time, as we mentioned when we were learning Kedushas Levi the other week, the whole miracle of Hanukkah was just a gift of Hashem's love. It was beyond anything that we deserved, period. It was chesed. It was kohanim, like we learned in Kedushas Levi. Yaakov is saying, I'm not questioning the promise, right? I'm not questioning Hashem's ability to deliver on the promise. Yaakov is just genuinely expressing deep hakaras hatov that I feel unworthy of everything that you've done for me, Hashem. I'm not questioning that the promise has expired, like Rashi says. Aval katonti lo mar ki katon hu meyosu roi l'chol hachasadim sha'asimo. Yaakov, it's a way of saying thank you. Yaakov is saying, And that's how we're supposed to feel, Chavra. That's how we're supposed to feel. We're supposed to feel that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, I don't deserve. I don't deserve anything. There's nothing we deserve. I was talking to someone recently who was going through a health scare. And I really just, like, you know, after that conversation, I was just, like, thinking, I was like, do I ever even think about the fact that my heart is beating in my chest? Like, from one beat to the next, that's such a bracha, that's such a gift. What did I do to deserve any of that? From one breath to the next. I'll call Neshima Unashima Tahaloka, like it says in the Medrash. For every breath, you should say, Haluka, thank you, Hashem. You don't owe me anything. So, Yaakov Avinu is saying this in a time of great need. He's reminding himself, Rabbona Sholem, right? I didn't deserve what you did until now. I don't deserve to be saved now. But he's also, God forbid, I don't want to say he's manipulating Hashem, because of course not manipulative. Right? But Yaakov is kind of reminding Hashem that, guess what? I'm never worthy of anything. But you've been delivering, so, you know, so keep delivering. Right? It's like a humble Hakar Satov, a little bit of a creative tefillah. I have to tell you, I remember this so clearly. It was such a sharp insight. Many, many years ago at this point, we brought Rav Avram Shor, Shlita, to Tinek to give a shiur in someone's house. Bunch of chevra, a lot of young guys. And he said such an amazing thing. He said, sometimes in life, I just know it's such a roshim on me. He said, we do this thing sometimes where, like, if we're nechshal in certain leveros, shmiras yinayim, shmiras habris, things like that, but leveros in general, right? We go through periods where sometimes we feel very unworthy of doing mitzvahs afterwards, right? Like, if I do that leveros, so then what right do I have to do this mitzvah? You know? If I know what I did last night, so then I feel like almost dishonest, like coming to the base medrash the next day. So Rav Shor said it, and it's such a creative, like, vina hafacho. Rav Shor said, no, think of it like this. Right? Like, I don't feel worthy to, like, even put on my tefillin because I'm such a shaygetz, you know? So think of it like this. Are you ever worthy to put on tefillin? Is your body ever good enough to put on tefillin? Do you really ever deserve to learn Torah? Do you ever learn to deserve to talk to Hashem? Meaning, it's almost like a guy, but I think, like, oh, now I did an avera, so now I'm not roy. Are you ever roy? You're never roy. It's always a gift. Oh, so if it's always a gift, okay, so you did an avera, so it's still a gift. So that's what Yaakov is saying. It even fits with Rashi. Yaakov, according to Rashi, Yaakov is saying, maybe I've lost my zechuyos, but Yaakov is saying to Hashem, but my zechuyos were never the reason that you liked me to begin with. It was all chesed. I've always been katonti mikol ha-chasadim u-mikol ha-emes asher asisa asavdecha. I don't deserve anything. V'chein mi yakum Yaakov ki katonu, the pasuk in Amos. Right? Who can support Yaakov? He's small. We're always small. We're always not worthy of Hashem's love, and yet Hashem showers it upon us. Katon miyoso yachol lispo kol anigzarla. Right? We're too small. We're not deserving of all that is you know, decreed upon us. He's saying decreed here, I think, in a positive sense. We don't deserve anything. Okay, so we don't deserve anything. So Yaakov says, you know, so Hashem, you know, let's keep going. Right? V'chein amar b'bereishis Rabba. That's what it says in the Medrash. Katonti, Rabbi Abba Amar, eini kadai. I don't deserve any of it. But you've delivered. So keep delivering. Keep delivering. And therefore, concludes the Ramban, what are the chasadim and the emes? Katonti mikol ha-chasadim u-mikol ha-emes. The Ramban says, ha-chasadim he-matovos sh'asimo below neder. The chesed are those things that Hashem, you did for me. You didn't even promise it to me. You didn't even claim you were going to give it to me. You just, you know, you slipped the extra money into my bank account. Right? A surprise gift. The MS, what's the MS? The MS means you fulfilled those things that you did say you would give. Hatova asher v'ticho ve'imeis lo haftachaso. So Hashem, I don't feel that I deserve it even if you promised it. You've given me so much more. You did chesed for me even what? Even in things that you didn't even tell me you were going to do. And again, that's all the gifts that we have in our life that we never stop to even acknowledge or notice. Right? And again, that's part of what Chanukah is about. Pausing to recognize how everything that we have is a gift. And therefore, Yomar she'enenu roi shiftichenu v'yasala osas tovas shiftichuben. V'lo tovas acheros rabos shasimo. I don't deserve the promises you made me. And I don't deserve all the kindnesses that you've given me. The ones you haven't even promised me. I don't deserve any of it. But at the end of the day, Rabbanu Shalom, you've been delivering. So I ask you, right, to keep delivering. That's what Yaakov's saying. It's the derech of saying thank you, you know, like Leah. Right? Hapam odes Hashem. Right? Chazal understand that Leah, when she thanked Hashem, the right way to say thank you to Hashem is thank you for the past, and I'm looking forward to what you're going to give me in the future. Right? To have the confidence, Hashem wants to continue to give. Yeah, v'yitein lecha, yitein v'yachzer v'yitein. Hashem gives, and he should give again. Hashem should continue to give. Right? That's how we say thank you for the past, but it's also at the same time we daven and we ask Hashem to continue to give in the future. Okay, what time is it? It's 10:30. Should we stop here? Should we do one more? One more?
Yeah.
Let's do one more. Okay, one more. Last one for today. There's more. We're gonna have to leave some on the table, but we'll come. Maybe tomorrow we'll come back and we'll do again. Okay, look at, let's just go to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Do a drop more, 5 more minutes. Okay, Va'ata Amarta Heitev Eitiv Imach. Okay, this is a continuation really of, again, what we were just discussing. Afal Pi Shehaisa Pachadaso Pen Garam Hachet. Even though Yaakov was afraid, again, as Rashi explained, that maybe, as Chazal explained, that his Averos had caused him to lose the kindness, Amar Asisa Imadich Asadim Gedolim Shlo Isi Roilam. Hashem, you've done for me so much kindness that I don't deserve. Kol Shekin Shiyesh Lasos Imichina Vachesed Azeh Asher Yivtach Tani Alav Shetetiv Livetar Be'ezari. So Hashem, all the more so, if you fulfilled things that you never promised, so God, it's gonna be a bad look if you don't fulfill things that you did promise. Right? And again, it's part of Yaakov saying, I didn't deserve that either. Right? But at the very least, you know, you promised me that I'd have a large family, so we've got work to do. So if my averos haven't stopped you from withholding the things you didn't promise, so then Yaakov's saying, even though I'm nervous about my averos, but Hashem, you still have to fulfill your promises. Because I was never worthy of anything if you hold on to my averos. But you never promised me based on my actions. The promises were never, oh, because you did this, Yaakov, I'm going to watch over you. Yaakov said, I don't feel that that's true. You think I deserve anything, even for all the learning and the mitzvahs that I do. Yaakov said, I never felt that you were giving it to me because of my merit. So also don't take it away because of my demerit. V'yesh omrim, and some say, ki Yaakov hayachomel al banav al beso. Listen to this. Some say, a scary idea. Yaakov says, hold on a second. Hashem promised me that I'm going to have a big family. Hashem didn't promise me that this is my big family. Yesh omrim, therefore some say, that Yaakov was afraid, what happens if I survive and my whole family gets wiped out, but Hashem still fulfills his promise because I'll marry someone else and rebuild the family. Yaakov said, whoa, wait, hold on, that actually could happen, that works, right? That's Hashem protecting me, as he promised. That's Hashem giving me a big family, as he promised. But skipping the whole middle section, where my first family gets murdered. Ki lo hay yodea b'avtachas v'haya zaracha ka'afar aretz. Some say that Yaakov was afraid that promise that your children will be numerous, im al elu o al acherim. He didn't know if it was these kids. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, that whole family could get wiped out. Maybe he alone will survive. And have another family. Yesh omrim. Some say such a thing. Says the Ramban, I do not like that pshat at all. And none of us like that pshat either. We don't want Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda to get killed. Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, Zilpah. God forbid. Ve'einenu nachon be'einai. I don't like that pshat at all. That's not what's happening here. Ki em haisa zos machshavto eich amr betilaso. Because if that's really what, again, Yaakov was concerned about, how could he say, Va'ata amarta heitev eitiv imach v'samti azaracha? You told me, I already have this family, and you told me, I'm going to bring this family to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to watch over this family. That was part of the promise. Va'od ki sham nemar lo, v'hinei anochi imach shmarticha b'chol esher teilech. I'm going to be with you, I'm going to watch over you on the journey. I'm going to be with you. But I forgot to tell you, your whole family is going to be murdered along the way back to Eretz Yisrael. That's called being with you. That's called not abandoning you. Doesn't sound like it to me. Right? So that can't be. The Ve'ayah Imach means this family is going to survive. So what is Yaakov, again, let's just capture it one last time. So what is Yaakov really saying? Why is he talking on the one hand so humbly? Yaakov, you're Yaakov Avinu. But however, this is the way a tzaddik talks. Look at the Ramban, the last two lines. Aval hakol meyiras hachet. Ramban concludes Pasuk Yud Gimel. All of this is what? All of this is yiras hachet. A God-fearing person doesn't go through life feeling entitled. A person who realizes the chesed of Hashem does not go through life saying, you owe me because I keep Shabbos. You owe me because I keep kosher. You owe me because I don't speak Lashon Hara. Hashem doesn't owe us anything. A person who lives with genuine yiras hachet, ki derech hatzadikim lira tamid. A tzaddik lives his life feeling, Hashem, I haven't done enough for you. I'm way behind on my payments. Now again, that has to be done in a healthy way. Right? As we've seen many times in the Mor v'Shemesh. But a tzaddik says, no, I don't feel complacent. I don't feel that I've done enough. Yaakov says, maybe I did do it. What terrible error did I do since I left Beis Lavan? What did I do in the short period of time? Yaakov says to himself, maybe even making that treaty with Lavan the idol worshiper, maybe that was sinful. And the Ramban quotes the phrase, Ushigios mi yavin. Who knows the shogeg mistakes that we do? We know the things we do intentionally when we give in to a bad yetzahara. But how many things do we do wrong? You know the whole Shulchan Aruch, forwards and backwards? How do you know how many errors you did already this morning? I had a pretty good morning. You don't know. You may have violated 100 halachos that you never heard of. So Yaakov Avinu says, I don't have the confidence that I'm a perfect Jew. No, I probably make a lot of mistakes. I don't even know what I did wrong. Right? But the way of a tzaddik is not to always pat himself on the back and say, I'm good, yeah, I'm totally good. The way of a tzaddik is to say, you know what? I have to keep working on myself. There's areas that I haven't studied. I don't even know what averos I've done. Okay? So that was Yaakov Avinu's self-reflection. Okay? But to end on a positive note, two last lines, Yud Zayin. Yaakov sends his gift, and he spreads out the gift, and we'll just end on a very encouraging note. Pasuk Yud Zayin, ve'revach tasimu bein eder le'eder. Yaakov put space between what? Between each of the, you know, sets of animals that he was offering to Esav as a gift. Why did he spread it out? Kidei lahasbia eino shal osu arasha, ulesavho al adoron. He spread it out in order to what? To satisfy the eye of that rasha. That what? That he should be more excited about the gift. In other words, he sent the gift, you know, instead of giving him this one, you know, lump sum, right? Like every couple of feet, it was like another gift coming, and another gift coming, another gift coming. Again, it was all the same amount. But to the eyes of Esav, when it looks like more, it gets Esav excited. Okay, so an interesting technique to allow him to be excited as if he's sending him many different gifts instead of just one big gift. But Yesh Bazer Remes, Chazal say, V'savu Gracious Rabba, the Medrash says, there's a Remes here as well. Yaakov wasn't just giving a gift to Esav in a creative way. He was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbono Sholem, sometimes we have to send gifts to our enemies. Sometimes we feel that we don't have the upper hand. But what did Yaakov do? He put space between the gifts. What is that space between the gifts supposed to represent? Amar Yaakov l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbono Sholem, im yiyu tzaros bo'os al benai, lo tavi osan zo acher zo. Rabbono Sholem, if we're going to have to suffer, if that's part of the Jewish journey, that's a necessary part of our existence, Hashem, please don't stack the pain back to back. Give us a little breathing room. Don't make it that one bad thing leads to the next. Ela harvach lahem mitzarasayim. Give a little revach, give a little breathing room. Right? Sometimes in life you feel like you had such a bad day, like you deserve a good day the next day, and then like a worse thing happens. Baruch Shalom. A little space to breathe, a little menuchas nefesh, I understand. I'm not asking you to... I understand Galus has to play out. I understand. If this is what has to happen, Hashem, but don't make it so unbearable by stacking one pain on top of the other. Also, Remez, Shiyu, Hamisim, Harnonios, Sheyigvu, B'nayesim, Mizaro, Berevach, the Hefresh, Bein Zol, Zol. The Ramban is writing again in a historical context. When our enemies, Esav, when they levy all sorts of taxes and they take advantage of our money, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us periods of, you know, affluence in between to at least, you know, rebuild the bank account. Don't make it that we're always. Give us a little space to breathe. Right? And again, we have to try to be like Yaakov, to daven like Yaakov. When a Jew's going through a difficult time, say, Ribbono Shalom, even if you're not, negotiate with Hashem like you would negotiate with your boss. Hashem, even if you're not ready to take away the tzara entirely, give me a little breathing room. That's also a tefillah. Give me a little space. So that way I can try to at least, you know, recover from one illness, God forbid, before the next one. You know, give me the strength to get back on my feet. Okay, so much to learn from the behaviors of Yaakov, you know, every step. Yas, so what do you want to say? What you're saying, towards Esau it is?
Yeah,
small
baby steps.
Right.
You can see in this point. Because I think that if Yaakov was really scared, I think he would run away.
But you're saying he didn't have to go encounter Esau and then run away if things got out of control. He could have run away to begin with.
Yeah.
So you're saying the fact that he was even willing to go towards Esau, again, still a human being, still with the strategy. You're saying that itself was a display of his bitachon. Yeah, I hear that. That's a good point.